And it is Jared and the GM live today from Corner Pub in Brentwood, where once again the Preds will play at 2 o'clock today. The pregame coverage starting in 1 hour, so we are early here today at Corner Pub in Brentwood. Thanks to our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company, and we are registering people to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company bus trip to St. Louis to see the Preds take on the St. Louis Blues on Saturday, February 9th. So come on out. The bus trip is sold out, but you can come register. And when you come register, that includes the bus trip from here to St. Louis, tickets for the game, and then the bus trip back home from St. Louis. So get excited about that. Come on out and register. Again, that is Saturday, February 9th for that game. And, of course, out here at Corner Pub, $1 off Yeehaw drafts during all Preds games. And, of course, be sure to try their flagship beer, Dunkel, a dark German lager, as that is on draft along with pale ale. Floyd, you're a dark lager kind of guy. You got to try the Dunkel.
Yeah, Dunkel, I haven't tried that one yet.
We need to get you on that. We will get you on that. Of course, drink Yeehaw Brewing beers responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. So, something I do not understand, and this is going to go on for 2 weeks. Now, I have just asked Floyd if he could get me a pair of tickets to the Super Bowl, knowing, you know, how close he is with Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and all of those people. And I was even nice enough to not ask if Floyd could get me two tickets in Kraft's box. I feel like with Floyd's cachet, he should be able to get me two tickets in Kraft's box. I didn't even have the audacity to ask for that. I just would like two tickets to the Super Bowl. And Floyd said no. Well, he didn't say no. He just looked at me and laughed. I need two tickets, Floyd.
You can get them. You can get them for about $5,000 to $6,000 a pop.
Why won't you call up Bill Belichick? And
face value on that. I don't even know what face value is anymore, but I'm going to guess face value is
$2,500
a piece.
Yeah, but that's like for the upper deck probably.
I don't know.
Well, I just want two good lower-level seats for free. You can't get those for me?
No.
Why not?
And nobody can.
If you called Bill Belichick, Bill wouldn't get you two seats?
No. I would not call him and ask him for two free Super Bowl tickets. Good ones.
Yeah, I don't want the bad ones.
For you. Now, for me or for, yeah, there's some, but no, not for you.
How many people are you close enough with that you would call Bill Belichick 2 weeks before the Super Bowl and ask him for tickets? Like, how many people in the world exist that are that close with you that you would actually...
Oh, I have no idea.
Call Belichick.
I don't know. I mean, the tickets are really a big deal.
I know, but like if your sons asked you, I know you would say no to them.
No, I'd take care of them, but I mean, it's.
Oh, no, I could see your sons asking you, be like, no. I could see you totally doing that.
Yeah.
So the sons and Sally get the pass. What about anybody? What if Jeff Fisher called and asked you for?
Jeff wouldn't need me. He could probably find a way to get him.
So I'd like two seats in Kraft's box. If you told Kraft, hey, Jared Stillman is a guy I work with every day. He's a really great guy, really handsome, very smart, very funny, great guy. Can he get two tickets to the Super Bowl in your box? What do you think Kraft would say?
He'd laugh, just like me.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
So here's the thing I don't understand about what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks, and that is the hate for Tom Brady. Now, I get some people in life are just jealous, and I understand that. But how can you not watch what we watched last night and say to yourself, man, I am living in an era where the greatest quarterback of all time is playing and is out there at 41 years old just carving them up. And not even if you don't like the Patriots, like even if you were like in the Manning Brady days, even if you were like a Manning guy, which I love both quarterbacks. But if you're back in that day, like you were a Manning guy, how can you not watch that game yesterday and think, man, I am lucky enough to get to watch the greatest quarterback who ever played the game? Like I don't know how if you can't respect what Tom Brady's doing. You are just a hater.
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, there are those people that are they look at him, say, wait a minute now. Good-looking guy, married to a supermodel, got a ton of money, not a care in the world, winning world championships, you know, first, second Hall of Fame guy. I mean, you know, you look at it, you're jealous because there's nothing wrong. You say there's got to be something wrong with this guy. And the truth is, I mean, if there is, I don't know what it is. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure he's got issues like everybody else, but you don't ever see him for some reason.
I guess I look at it differently with Brady. I think about, you know, to me, Brady's a great inspirational story. He was a guy who went to Michigan, got no playing time, you know, got three reps a day at practice. And Brady, and I read Brady's book, and in his book, he talks about how he was so sad and depressed because he was only getting three reps a day at practice. That was all he was getting. And he went and talked to the sports psychologist at Michigan, and the sports psychologist said, well, Tom, getting three reps is better than getting no reps. So if you're going to get three reps, you need to make those the three best reps that you get. And then Brady went around and said, okay, I'm going to make them the three best reps of the day. And then they gave him five reps, and then they gave him more reps, and then and all of a sudden he was competing for the starting job because he made those best three reps the best of the day. Then he gets the starting job at Michigan, and Lloyd Carr takes the starting job and splits it between him and a true freshman, Drew Henson. Drew Henson was like the most heralded recruit on the fan day where they brought the people in there to sign autographs. Henson's line was wrapped around the stadium. Brady, the starting quarterback, didn't even have much of a line to get his autograph. Brady's a sixth-round pick, comes out of nowhere, wins the Super Bowl, constantly has people doubting him. Even now, how can he do it at this age? He can't do it. To me, Brady is the perfect success story of if you really care about something and if you really try your hardest, you can succeed. And yet I just think that lazy people look at that and they're like, I hate Tom Brady. Why? Like, he works for everything that he's got. And I feel like the story of Tom Brady should be one that is celebrated as an American success story more than anything else. You were around the guy every day for 5 years. You can't tell me that you don't respect the work that he puts in to what he's done, not only to get himself where he is, but to keep himself as successful as he's been.
Oh, and you, when you're around him and you see him on a daily basis, I mean, the respect just doubles and triples and quadruples because he does so much more than anybody else you know would ever do that, you know, you look at it and you go, whatever he gets, he deserves. You know, he is working so hard at everything he does. And a lot of people just believe, well, it was, you know, given to him. That people taking care of him. Tom, because he was a good-looking guy, because he's married to a supermodel, he gets this and that and the other. Wrong.
Well,
Tom is a great, great work ethic. Fantastic.
Well, if he didn't have the work ethic, you think he'd be married to the supermodel?
Well, I don't know how that works out.
Well, yes, you do. I mean, the reality to me is you think that Gisele Bündchen is dating the fourth-string quarterback at Michigan who gets three reps a day at practice? No. So he had to work from three reps a day at practice at Michigan to five reps, to the backup job, to competing for the starting job, to then having to compete again for the starting job, to having it taken away, to having it given back to him. Like, Tom Brady, it, to me, is an American success story. The sixth-round pick, 199. He was Luke Falk. Remember Luke Falk? He was Luke Falk. Falk was 199. That's who he was. And now he is the greatest quarterback to ever play. And I can't get over the fact that people don't like Tom Brady. It's so ridiculous that people don't like Tom Brady. Like, it just drives me insane. He's so good because he puts in the work, and I feel like you should appreciate that. It's like Warren Buffett being rich, right? My thing is, I mean, I have respect for anybody who makes a lot of money, and I have respect for people that don't make a lot of money. I mean, you know, money is one thing, but Warren Buffett doesn't even make the money to buy things. Like, a lot of people work so that they can buy things, right?
Right.
Warren doesn't even work to buy things. Warren just makes money because that's what he likes to do. He gives most of it away. But it's the process of making the money that Warren Buffett likes so much. And, like, I have an immense amount of appreciation for that. Because it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a weird and kooky or something like that. But it's like the fact that, do you know, Warren Buffett says, it's not very hard to make money over time. It's very hard to get rich quick. But it's not very hard to get rich over time if you stay disciplined and know what you're doing. But you have to put in the research to know what to do, and then you have to stay disciplined because let's say you hit a $5,000 bonus at work. $5,000. Well, what are you going to do with the $5,000? Because a lot of people are sitting there, oh, if I get a $5,000 bonus, I'm going to buy such and such with that $5,000. You're going to put it into stock, into manufacturing companies or such, and like that's what Warren wants you to do. And so there's a lot of discipline that goes with that. And I appreciate that. And I think some people just don't. They're just jealous. They're just like,
well, everybody wants to assign another reason for it. You know, how did he get rich? Well, he was just lucky. His dad had a lot of money, or his, you know, whatever other excuse is always used. And they really don't want to admit that this guy went out basically with the same skill set you have and has done so much more with it. You know, it makes you feel inadequate, inept. And so I think before that happened, people say, well, you know what? He's been babied. He's so lucky, and he's this, that, and the other. You know, because they can't, in their mind, put together the real reason, which is, guy's pretty talented, works his butt off.
We are live today at Corner Pub out in Brentwood, where once again we are registering people to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip to St. Louis on Saturday, February 9th. Come on out and register to win. The game, of course, 2 o'clock against Colorado as they take them on a special Martin Luther King Jr. Day showdown matinee against the Punch and Judy Avalanche. And again, $1 off Yeehaw drafts during all Preds games. Floyd, it was not a pretty performance by the Predators on Saturday against Florida. And I don't know, you know, we were kind of concerned about the Winnipeg thing. How concerned are we right now, especially about the way they've been starting? And I have a theory, and I don't know if I like it or don't like it, but I know the coach and you would not like it. So I want to get to that coming up next. Also, congratulations to Rick Barnes and the UT Vols, the number one team in the country.
That's exciting.
And Tennessee, great. And I watched Duke last week, and I watched Michigan last week, and I'm telling you, the Vols can play with any one of those teams. The Vols, and this is what's great about college basketball, which also kind of stinks. Doesn't really mean anything come March that the Vols are number one on January 21st, but that's a special volunteer basketball team. Although, boy, they were bad. I was about to throw up watching them play Saturday against Alabama. You know, they were almost – I watched Michigan lose. I'm like, the Vols are going to be number one. And then you watch that game, and the Vols get a big lead, and then here comes Alabama, and it just – whew, goodness. But the Vols, at least for this week, are the number one team in the country. So congratulations to them. To the Preds we go next, live out at Corner Pub in Brentwood. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
I guess with you guys going on this road trip, a little bit of a break after it, but the mentality right now, I'm sure, is to pick up some points on this road trip. How do you get off to a quicker start with this group?
Well, right now that seems to be the issue. You know, I thought that we could have been livelier in the first period, and they scored a couple goals, so that wasn't good enough. Tried to press in the second period, eventually scored some in the third. But again, every time that we're looking at something that's not going properly, we try to address it and move forward. There's a good leadership group in there and a good level of accountability from those guys. So I think they know we need a better start, and I would look for that to happen.
Peter Laviolette yesterday, and he was not pleased Saturday night with the start against Florida and has not been pleased with the starts as of late. Jared and the GM live out at Corner Pub in Brentwood. Floyd, I have a theory, though, and you're not going to like it.
Okay.
So my theory with why the Preds are starting slow, and they've been starting slow, and honestly, they're not really playing that great. You know, they played great against Washington the other night, but they were kind of jazzed up knowing it was Washington. And plus, I don't know if you watched any of that Washington-Chicago game yesterday, and I don't know why you would, but Washington is struggling a little bit right now. And by the way, you know who's in first place?
Who?
Barry Trotz.
That's great.
And so there is that. But the point I'm trying to make here, and congratulations to Trotz, because that Islanders team sucks. So the fact that they're good with him coaching them tells you how good of a coach he is. Mm. But that's neither here nor there. I think the Predators just don't take these games as seriously as they did last year. And I know that that sounds crazy, and you're thinking, Jared, they're professionals. All they do is play hockey. They take every game seriously. And I'm sure the team would pretend to be offended if, like, the players would pretend to be offended if they heard that I said that. But deep down inside, they probably know I'm right. I just don't think they care as much as they cared last year, because they thought, we're so good at home that if we get to the playoffs and we have home ice, we're going to win the cup. And they believed that, and they thought that, and so that was it. And then they lost. And now I don't think that it's correct to sit there and act like it doesn't mean anything, because it probably does mean something to have home ice. It just doesn't mean as much as they meant it out to be last year. That now that they look at these games and they're like, it's a Monday afternoon against Colorado. Like, we'll make the playoffs. We're fine. Like, now they don't maybe consciously think like that, but the passion for every game is just not the same. It's just like, you know, we'll be all right. Yeah, we played bad last week. We'll be all right. And maybe they will be all right. I don't know. They stunk the joint up for the first 2 months a couple years ago and made it to the cup final. So maybe that is the case. I'm just saying, I don't think that they have the passion for these games that they did last year. And that's the difference between last year and this year. Team's just as good. Team might actually be better this year. But they just don't have the day-to-day passion that they had before.
Do the other teams have it?
I don't know. I think the other teams, like take a team like Florida, right? Like, they're trying desperately to get back into the playoff hunt. I don't think they're going to be. But, like, the teams that are kind of on the cusp of making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, they have to play every night. Because if they don't play every night, they can't look back on it and say, you know, we're going to make the playoffs for sure. The Predators can do that. But Colorado made it into the playoffs by winning in the last game of the season last year. And they're 10 points behind the Predators or whatever. So they probably have to look at it like, well, you know, we got to make sure, bring it, because if we don't, that game could catch up to us and we could do the – and I don't think the Predators have that kind of – like, I don't think Pittsburgh takes games that seriously this time of the year.
I don't know. I mean, I've never played hockey. I don't know. I know it's a long season. I know it's a long schedule. But I'm going to guess, just guess, that if you're a professional hockey player, I mean, you become accustomed to the routine, you know. And once it gets to game time, whatever day that is, and somebody says, okay, guys, put the silks on, here we go, that you kind of kick it into another gear. You know, that being said, I mean, I think we could all understand playing 82 games that, you know, a guy decides that, yeah, I just don't feel like playing today. But I don't know if a whole team would do that.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's like the conscious decision of I don't have the passion as much as it is like, you know, you wake up in your hotel room, you go out there, like, we're playing Colorado today, like, you know, okay. I will play today, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll try to go out there, play hard, try to do that kind of thing, and then, you know, move on. Whereas last year it was like, if we don't win this game against Colorado, then Winnipeg will get a 5-point lead, and if Winnipeg gets a 6-point lead, then it's going to be really hard to win the division, and if we don't win the division, then we won't have home ice in the second round, and if we don't have home ice in the second round, then we're not going to win it. Like, and it's like every day was something new for them, and now I think it's just kind of like, eh. Like, we'll be okay. You know, like the things that Nick Saban and Bill Belichick try desperately hard to make sure doesn't happen with their teams?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think we're kind of seeing with this group. You know, that's kind of what we're starting to see with this Predator team. Like, I don't know
if that's a great reflection on the coach and the leadership group and whatever else.
Now, this is just my take. And, again, I think if you were to sit down with the players – and tell them that Jared Stillman doesn't think that you have the passion for every game. Now, they have passion for certain games, but that Jared Stillman doesn't think that you have the passion for every game like you did last year, I think they would get up. Oh, that's preposterous. That's such a – he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. He's – but I think deep down inside, they'd say, yeah, he's probably right. You know? I mean, listen to Ryan Ellis talk about the loss on Saturday and listen to kind of how he just kind of is like this was Ryan Ellis yesterday at practice.
I mean, I think the more you think about it, everyone's trying to do the right things out there. And, I mean, last game – We didn't agree with the penalty so much. We thought Hammer's hit was great. And then we go right on the kill after a couple good chances on the kill. They score, and obviously deflating. But I think we're an experienced enough group that whether we're up or down, we know the course we need to head and how we need to play. And we're trying out there. Our effort's there for the most part. But at times, obviously, it isn't. And it's about that consistency. We always talk about consistency. And every team would love to have that for 60 minutes every game, but it's not always realistic, and it's something that we can.
I mean, we'd like to have the consistency every game, but, you know, it's not always realistic. I mean, you know, I guess my kind of thing is I'm not sure how much it matters. But I think they'll have the passion when it comes to the playoffs, and – there's a part of me that thinks, you know, getting your butt spanked a couple times by the Floridas of the world this time of year might be a good thing, because it means that, you know, instead of February 25th when you start to rest your players, you know, now in March and March, those guys are going to have to play. And there is going to be no rest, and there is going to be no what we saw at the beginning of the playoffs last year against Colorado, where they did not have the passion they had in that first series against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw the game Saturday.
I mean, you were really disappointed with the effort Thursday.
Yeah, but Saturday, I mean, I don't think it was a matter of effort. I mean, there were, after the initial shock, after the initial first two goals, three goals, I mean, there were parts late in that, or in the second period, and then certainly into the third period, where they, I mean, it looked like a machine gun going off against that goalie. I mean, it was just shot after shot after shot. I mean, they were all over the. They just couldn't get it in the net. You know, it wouldn't go through. And, you know, the goalie obviously did a good job. Defense obviously was pretty good. But, I mean, they were just pelting them.
Well, my point being, though, is that they come out just kind of like, whatever. And then they get down, and then they're like, all right, got to ramp it up now. Because that's been happening a little bit too much lately when you watch a Preds play. Like, they come out and boom, 2-0. All right, got to show up now. Got to bring it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I never thought of that, but I guess it's certainly possible.
Hal Gill's going to join us live from the booth. We'll get to Hal coming up next. We'll ask Hal what his thoughts are on all of that. 615-737-1025 as well. I just don't think this team has the energy to care about every game like they did last year, which, again, is fine. They're going to make the playoffs. They'll probably be the second team in the Central Division for whatever that's worth. And then, you know, we'll go from there. I'm not condemning them or anything. I'm just what I see out there on the ice. Hal Gill will join us next live from the booth in Colorado where the Preds get set to take on the Avs as we're live out at Corner Pub in Brentwood registering you to win on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip. Let me tell you what's consistent every day. That's the great quality with my friends at Authentically American. That's right. Authentically American. If you're a business owner, business apparel, Authentically American is perfect for you. That's right, baby. Authentically American. And I am proud to wear Authentically American clothes, and our company wears Authentically American, and it's made in the USA quality. It's not made somewhere else. It's made in the USA, and it is an American company that's focused on American jobs. And a big key component of that is that it is perfect for you. Whether you are a big business owner or a small business owner, you want to put your company's logo on there, and you want to be proud of what you're wearing with the high quality. You got to go made in the USA with Authentically American. Authentically American is online at authenticallyamerican.us. That is Authentically American. Again, Authentically American online at authenticallyamerican.us. Business owner, marketing manager, someone that makes that decision, you got to check out Authentically American. Jared and the GM at ESPN 102.5 The Game.
With Predators head coach Peter Love.
Jared and the GM are live out at Corner Pub in Brentwood Once again, Preds pregame starting in 30 minutes. Puck drop at 2 o'clock as we are live. And a reminder that Yeehaw Brewing Company, we've got the bus trip that we are registering people to win. $1 off Yeehaw drafts during all Predators games. So come on out here today. Watch the game. They have the Yeehaw drafts, including their flagship beer, Dunkel, a German dark lager, and also pale ale. That's Yeehaw Brewing Company. Hal Gill is live in the booth at Colorado, where the Preds get set to take on the Colorado Avalanche. Hal, brought to you by Puckett's Barbecue Restaurants and Grocery. So, Hal, we start off with two losses in a row. Very, very concerning on some level or another. Are you concerned about what you've seen the last two nights from the Predators?
A little bit. You know, I think you have to be concerned when you lose two games that I really think it was just uninspired hockey. And that's more concerning to me than anything is, you know, you have to have that energy. It's not easy to turn it up every night, and there's going to be some downturns. But you had a tough loss, and then I was a little disappointed with the effort that came around in that Florida game. I thought they would have responded a little more, but now you're playing against a team in Colorado that if you don't come out and show some of that passion and bring it, they're going to make you pay. So this is really the test. Is that, you know, you're allowed to go in a little slump here as long as you work it out and sort out what the problem is.
So I had a theory that I just posed to Floyd, and I think the players would publicly deny this if somebody said that I said this, but I think deep down inside they know that it's true. And I just don't think they had the passion for these regular season games that they had last year. Last year, they looked at the standings every day because they were so determined that home ice was the difference in a cup the year before, that every little game and being 1 point ahead of Tampa Bay or Toronto or Boston or whomever mattered, and 1 point ahead of Winnipeg or whomever mattered. And this year, because of how they performed on home ice last year, I think they just don't have the passion every day to look at these games the same way. I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing. It's probably not a good thing, but that's just what I believe when I watch this team. You bring up uninspiring hockey. As a former player, do you see some of that with this team, that maybe the regular season games just don't have the same juice to them because of what happened last year in the playoffs?
Well, Jared, you know I always appreciate your theories, but I think let's talk about the past and what this team has gone through. They fought tooth and nail to get into the playoffs, and then found themselves in the finals. And then the next year, I think the being first in the conference, and they had a great run the whole season. And it was like, this is amazing. This is everything we ever dreamed of, is being in first place the whole time. And they fought tooth and nail to stay in first place. And then they had not an early exit, but a tough loss to Winnipeg. Now this year, I think it's human nature to balance emotions and say, all right, hey, let's not worry so much about the regular season, but the playoffs. I'll go along with your theory in only so much as to say these guys are building towards the playoffs. They are worried about where they're going. But I think in order to get to the point where you're going to win in the playoffs, you have to clean up your game, and you have to go through a lot of ups and downs to find out what your team is all about. Your team is always evolving, always changing. And it's, you know, sometimes you're going to have a great night on the power play. Sometimes a penalty kill is going to be great. Your 5-on-5 play will be great in the defensive zone, and then it'll take a lapse. But you have to learn how to correct yourselves, because in the playoffs you don't have much time to do that. So it's really about being self-aware, and I think the team is going through that right now. It's not always so easy, and this schedule has been rough. They've been battling for a long time now. You got a break coming up after these two games. And then it's really go time. Then you're watching where you are in the standings, and trying to get that home ice. But this has been a haul for these guys, and they're learning a lot about themselves every game.
Hal, you've been through this whole routine of 82 games and going out on a nightly basis and preparing yourself, because even though, you know, you may want to play better some nights than others, I mean, you still owe it to your teammates and you owe it to your coaches and you owe it to the organization to go out. How do you do that? Does it become routine? I mean, how do you, on a nightly basis, prepare yourself to go to work?
It's tough. That's a lot of people that aren't around hockey and aren't around the game don't realize how taxing it can be. And you go in, like you said, 82 games, that's a lot of hockey. And to be up for all of those isn't easy. But, you know, that's part of being self-aware as a team and then as an individual. You rely on your routine to kind of get you prepared for a game. But, as I got older, I started to realize, hey, I'm a little bit down here. I'd have someone go and punch me in the face, or I'd go, you know, I'd start doing heavy lifts before games just to say, hey, shock my system. Jump in the cold tub, you know, like go all the way under, wake yourself up, or maybe you're too jacked up and you need to calm down a little bit. So you go sit in the hot tub. You know, it's before every game, you're constantly monitoring where your head is at because it is a mental thing more than anything. Your body can go out there and keep playing and battle through anything. It's the mental aspect that's tough this time of year, especially. My wife always said this was the retirement days where I'd say, this is it. I'm, you know, you come around after right around the All-Star break and the season wears on you, and I'd come home and say, I got to retire. This is awful. I can't do it anymore. And then you get excited about the playoffs, and then I want to play forever. It's that kind of up and down of the season. So these guys are going through a lot, and, you know, it's hard to be patient as a fan sitting and watching. But you have to go through the process of trying to learn what your team is all about and what makes it click.
I was surprised how I got a late start on the game Saturday night, and by the time I turn it on, I think it's 2-0 or 3-0 or whatever it is. But it's like, you know, not that far into the second period. And from that point, it seemed like the rest of the game, I don't know that I've seen a game where we have lined up and had more shots at goal. I mean, we were peppering them. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And we could not get it to go in. What is the deal there?
It's a tough game. I think, you know, the starts have been huge, obviously. And I think that's throughout the NHL. You score the first goal and you really can set up the game any way you want it. And you can dictate the pace. But, you know, for the Preds, yeah, they didn't have that start, and then they got going, but it's a little too little and a little too late. You know, once that team gets that lead on you, you can fire it at the net. I think it really comes down to, you know, getting shots or getting scoring chances, and you got to work hard to get the scoring chances. A lot of teams will give up shots. They'll give up shots from the outside. They're not too worried about that. But if you want to get to the dirty areas, get your nose dirty and find a way to score a goal, you really have to work for it, and that's what I think the Preds could be better at.
Hal Gill with us in the booth in Colorado, brought to you by Puckett's, as we are live out of Corner Pub out here in Brentwood with our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company. Okay, so my take on Friday after the Thursday night Winnipeg debacle was, it's not an accident that we've seen Winnipeg walk into Bridgestone Arena and do that 4 times in 6 tries. And I'm worried that Winnipeg's size and speed combination are just too much for the Predators to overcome, because I thought Pekka played a great game. I know that they gave up 5 goals. I thought he played great. And so you lose 5-1, you lost game 7 5-1, you lost game 5 6-2, and you lost game 1 4-1. This seems to be an epidemic. What do they do? Because it's inevitable they're going to play the Jets in the playoffs.
Well, the Jets are saying the same thing, too. They Preds have gone up there and had success in their building, which is kind of bizarre because they are so good at home. So both teams really have done that. I think it comes down to playing a simple road-style game. If you try and do too much sometimes when you're at home, you try to make that extra move, that extra play, you overcomplicate things, and that doesn't work out against this team. So it is. It's a big, fast team. They play a hard game. The Preds have to you know, recognize that if they're going to, and it goes back to, if you want to score goals, you got to bear down and get to the net. And that's not easy against the big bodies for the Jets. So, I think after the game, we talked about it a little bit, but they need to evaluate what this team needs. Not just going out and getting a trade for a player, but who's going to step up and get that done against a team like that? Who's going to be the guy? And I really think that's self-evaluation, saying maybe my game is a perimeter player, but I'm going to have to change my game. You know, at some point, you got to get to the net. You're going to get beat up. It's going to hurt, but you got to change your game in order to win. And that's a lot what the Preds are going through right now, is really fine-tuning their game and finding out what they need to get it done.
Hal Gill with us again, brought to you by Puckett's. Your thoughts on your New England Patriots again.
Oh, boy. What a
going back to the Super Bowl.
You know what? I sent out a tweet talking about how great it is to be a Patriots fan, just because they're always in it. And, that's all you can ask for as a fan, I think, is to have your team always around. And I'm not sure what it is. It's like the 9 times out of 18 years, Floyd, that's crazy. I mean, it really is impressive what Brady and Belichick have done together. And I just love watching it, because it's always an interesting game. And I love the people that the haters that hate the Patriots and pile on me, saying they're the worst and they're cheaters and whatever it is. But whatever they're doing something right, because it is impressive.
What is it going to take for you to become a Titans fan?
I am a Titans fan, of course. Of course,
but
I'm a Titans fan.
But to like them more than the Patriots?
I've been a Patriots fan my whole life. You know, it's hard to kick the habit.
Hal Gill, the only person who can be featured on the intro video of the Montreal Canadiens and yet be a Boston Bruin too.
It's tough.
My man, Hal Gill.
Hey, Jared.
Hal, what do we think today?
I
got to
ask you a question. Yes, because, you know, we're playing the Avalanche, and you haven't talked a lot about that rental guy, the real estate, the guy, what's his name?
Mikko Rantanen?
Yeah.
I haven't talked much about him because I don't care much about him, because he's just not that good of a game changer. Now, Nathan MacKinnon, he's a good player.
Mikko Rantanen?
Rantanen's a good player, but he's not a great player. He's a real estate player.
He's a real estate player with 23 goals, 50 assists, and 73 points? You haven't talked much about him.
Right. But I don't talk. You know who else I haven't talked much about? I haven't talked much about Marcus Cannon or Devin McCourty. You know, because they're nice players. But if Devin McCourty went to San Francisco, would we ever hear from Devin McCourty again?
You think he's
we've talked a lot about Tom Brady.
You guys,
because he's a great player.
Mikko Rantanen just got lucky, huh? He gets lucky a lot, doesn't he?
I mean, again, Devin McCourty.
Just say you were wrong. Just say you were
McKinnon.
Wrong. He's a heck of a player. Just say you were wrong.
No, because every
so we can talk about this
every
hockey
time
game
I watch him
and
play,
all will be square.
Everybody just drools about Rantanen, and then they get out there, and I see McKinnon make all the plays. And I'm like, oh, you must be talking about McKinnon, because he's the one who makes all the plays, not Rantanen. And watch, Rantanen will go out there, he'll have probably an assist tonight, you know, maybe an assist, maybe some whatever, and everyone will tell me how great he is, and that's fine. But it will be because McKinnon went around 3 guys and then shot it at the top corner where Pekka couldn't get to it, and it's a goal and they win. Like, that's why he gets those assists. And so he's a real estate player. The definition of a real estate player, like Marvin Harrison, just a real estate player. Harold, always good to talk to you. Who are you going to interview in the future on the pregame show?
In the future, I have Blackwell. He's a good player coming up. A smack kid from Havid, and looked pretty good the other night, I thought.
Good. We look forward to that. Hal Gill,
thanks,
as
Hal.
Always, presented by
Thanks,
Puckett's.
Guys.
Hal, we will talk to you soon. Hal Gill, he'll be on the broadcast, which we want everybody to listen to the broadcast today. You know, I know that everybody likes watching TV, and I like watching TV too, but if you're going to listen to the game, be sure, if you're ever going to listen to Pete and Hal, who are fantastic at what they do, you want to listen today. Today has to be the day that you make the conscious decision to listen to the radio over television. And if there's any other games that are on during 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, you need to listen to that one on the radio. That's the hope. Predators game day is coming up next, live from Corner Pub out in Brentwood. Thanks to our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company, still registering people to come on out and win the pair of bus trip tickets to St. Louis for the Saturday, February 9th game against the Blues. It's shared in the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM live at Corner Pub in Middle Tennessee, brought to you by Yeehaw Brewing Company with the Yeehaw Brewing Company bus trip. It's time now for Predators Game Day, presented by the Nexus Group and powered by TJ Anderson Homes. Be sure to call the Nexus Group. They're your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group at 615-221-4200 and do not get catfish, Floyd Reese.
Unless it's on the ice.
All right, TJ Anderson Homes, buy or sell your home at tjandersonhomes.com. Preds at Colorado tonight, 2 o'clock, I should say today. Everyone needs to listen on the radio. Pregame in under 10 minutes. We start with the coach's take, and Peter Laviolette knows this team from last year in the playoffs, knows him as a division foe, and has a lot of concerns when it comes to the Colorado Avalanche.
For me, it's really going to be a tough game. One, you got to control that top line. They can single-handedly make the difference. We're going to have to play good defense against their entire team. It's never easy going into their building. It's always a challenging place from a fan point of view and from an altitude point of view. We have to deal with that a little bit. So it should be a good challenge for us. It's an early puck drop today. That's always a challenge in itself as well. But our guys, you know, we had some talks yesterday to try and straighten some things out, and we'll look to get back on track here today.
Floyd, they need to get back on track, not because of the standings or anything like that. It just, they need to get back to playing good hockey every night.
I think that's what we've expected and what we continue to expect, and we haven't, you know, that hasn't been the case here recently a little bit. So, and we know they can play 10 times better, and they know they can play 10 times better. And we're not saying, okay, give me playoff mode right now, but we need to start heading that direction.
We just need to see consistent effort and coming out and having better starts and things like that. The injury report for the Predators, good news, still waiting on the return of Mika Salamaki and Kyle Turris. But other than that, everything seems to be in shape in that regard. Taking a look at the standings, if the playoffs were to start today, Floyd Reese, Colorado at Nashville for the first round. Then they would get the winner of Winnipeg and Dallas, a.k.a. Winnipeg. They would get the Jets in the second round. But this would be your first round playoff matchup between the second place team in the Central Division and the third place team in the Central Division, separated by 8 points. So the Predators with a bit of a cushion on Colorado. But they're starting to slip a little bit in the standings from Winnipeg. The Predators with 60 points are 4 behind Winnipeg, who has 2 games in hand. So that is starting to become quite the cushion.
Yeah, they were tied the other night, or no, had a chance to tie.
Would have tied right? If they had won Thursday night, and then they lost Saturday. Okay. And I mean, Winnipeg is hotter than a firecracker. So the Predators, you know, if you really care about the Central Division, which I do not, but if you really care about the Central Division, then I would say that that's something to maybe get a little concerned about. I'm not so sure I care much about Colorado or Dallas, who's behind, but you always know how you hear the coaches say, hey, one bad week or one, 2 bad weeks or something like that can doom you. Right now, Minnesota is out of the playoffs by 1 point. They have 51 points. The Predators, and this is the crazy thing, are only 9 points ahead at 60.
Wow.
So 1 or 2 bad weeks, the Predators could start to be in a little trouble. Now, I don't think the Predators are going to be in any trouble making the playoffs, but it's at least worth watching. And also, you want to kind of keep Colorado a game today. You kind of want to keep them, you know,
behind you,
8 to 10 points clear of you at all times. Floyd, tonight, 2 o'clock, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, with the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber. What are you watching for as the Predators take on the Punch and Judy Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, we've got to get back in the right, you know, direction. We again should be a little bit better in standings. I mean, we're a better team than that. But, I mean, it's not the end of the world. Yet, like you said, you don't want to get caught down the road, you know, 2 weeks from now and saying, oh, no, what just happened? Mm-hmm. So, and you know what? If you're going to be a championship team, you've got a standard. You've got to keep, you know, a certain level of play that we need to be consistent at. And doesn't mean you win every game, but you play with a certain consistency to you.
So my thing is, just watch Mikko Rantanen. Everybody cries about how great he is. Just watch him. He's not that good. Plays with a great player, McKinnon. That's who I'm watching for because you got to slow him down. Again, pregame coverage starting in less than 5 minutes. That's going to do it for us. Special thanks to our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company and Corner Pub out here in Brentwood. Again, having us out here to register people to win those tickets on the Predators bus trip to the St. Louis for the February 9th game. And if you missed your chance to come on out today to register, where they'll have $1 off on Yeehaw drafts during all Preds games, if you missed your chance today, be sure to come on out Wednesday. We'll be at the Corner Pub downtown registering people to win. So come on out again with our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company, and a special thanks to Corner Pub out here in Brentwood. That's it for us. Preds pregame is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.